Good morning, everybody. Please be seated. Are you ready to receive? Let's get started. The bystander effect is the phenomenon when the greater the number of people present, the less likely they are to act or respond. The term bystander originated in 1964 when Kitty Genovese was brutally murdered in a New York City subway. 37 people saw or heard what happened, and no one stepped up to help. The New York Times reported that 37 people were in the space, and not one person called the police, and not one person came to help. People stood by and did nothing while a 28-year-old Kitty Genovese was brutally raped and murdered right in front of them. A bystander is one who is present but not participating. It could be easy in a church the size of Skybreak to say, well, they don't need me. There's a lot of other people here. Just let somebody else do it. The bystander effect is when the greater the number of people present, the less likely people are to step up and take responsibility to do what they can do to help. I think we have a tendency at times to overthink and underreact. We overthink by saying things like, well, I'm afraid to step up, or I'm not really sure what to do, or I'm not really good at anything. And I think we underreact saying things like, let someone else do it. I'm too busy. And we become a bystander, present, but not participating. Are you a bystander at Skybreak Church? Are you present, but not participating? In the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 17, David arrives at the battlefield and he observed his brothers and the rest of the Israelite soldiers standing by watching as Goliath mocked God, but they did nothing about it. In fact, the only thing they did was to run and hide in their own tents while Goliath challenged them. I would have to assume that to David, it felt very inconsistent with who they were and with what they should be doing. For them to do nothing, to say nothing, to run from participating day after day, it just didn't make sense to David, which is what led him to step up and fight Goliath just as a young boy untrained at war, and this huge opponent, he stepped up while the others simply stood by and watched. There's a verse of scripture in the book of James that really sums up my talk today, and it says it this way: do not merely listen to the word of God. Don't just listen to the word of God and so deceive yourself. Nobody else is deceiving you. You're deceiving your own self. You're you're underacting and overthinking. Don't just listen to the word of God and so deceive yourself. But James says, do what it says. And my hope today is to raise an awareness that happens too often. That this common tendency that we are present but not participating. We're in the room but we're not stepping up. We're observing, we're standing by. We become a part of the bystander effect. To be part of a healthy, thriving church like Skybreak, there are actions that we all are responsible for and are responsible to do. Did you hear that? Now listen, salvation is a gift from God. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. But once you're saved, you have an assignment. Well, I don't have to do anything to go to heaven. And on one hand, you're absolutely right. Jesus did it all. But on the other hand, you're absolutely wrong. He gave you something, and he expects something in return. We are called to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. That means you and I have something to do. We have an assignment. God intends for you and I to be a contributor to his church, not just a consumer of the church. We are church builders here at Skybreak. I said we are church builders, not just church attenders. We believe that the church is God's idea. This is God's idea. The church is the hope of the world. The church is God's plan A, and there's not a plan B. He intends for you and me to make a difference with our life and to not just be a bystander. Present but not participating. Once I'm saved, I have an assignment. So, how am I to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus? How do I avoid the bystander effect? What is my assignment? Well, let me give you four things to think about. I hope you're taking notes. It's real easy. Number one, join a serve team and use your gifts. We already heard that today, but I'm reminding you. Join a serve team. God's given you gifts and talents to use that nobody else has so that you can make an eternal difference in the life of somebody else and you can build his church. How could we sit by and let somebody else do what we are very capable of doing or it not be done? Or in a church of this size, maybe there's a group of you, a team of you that do similar things. Use your gifts to honor God. Join a serve team and give back. Man, I feel like I'm at the golf classics right now. Let me tell you what the Bible says. I was 8 years old. Charlie, the man, I don't even remember his last name. An older man, when I say Charlie, Mr. Charlie, Brother Charlie, we used to call him in the Pentecostal church. I think the Baptist church does that too. Brother Charlie, anybody ever grew up in church? I grew up in church. I'm 8 years old. I could see it in my mind's eye, that classroom on a Sunday morning, Brother Charlie. And he taught us Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And the King James Version, which you know growing up that was the only true version of the Bible, right? I'm not saying that's Bible, I'm just saying that that's true, what we thought was the true version. But that's the way I learned it. But here's what it says, 8 years old, Brother Charlie taught me, I urge you by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. 8 years old, I learned that. 8 years old, it taught me something, that I had a duty, I had an assignment. I learned that verse before I got saved. I was 9 years old when I got saved. Now, when you grow up in church, you think you're saved from the moment you're sucking your pacifier, you know. You could suck your pacifier and drink your bottle to the beat of when the saints go marching in. Everybody know what I'm talking about? I've been left to church more times than you can count. And there was four of us. They get home like, where's Danny? I don't know. I'm still asleep under the bench. Great sermon that night. Here's my point. The Bible says that in view of God's mercy, let me read a newer version. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. How do I truly worship God? This, maybe. But I offer myself. That's how I truly worship God. I offer my gifts. I offer my talents. I offer my time to Him. Your gift is not your own. It's not your own. God graced you with the talents and the abilities you have. He gave it to you to use for Him and for His purpose. He might allow you to use your gift for personal gain. It might be part of your career. It might be part of how you earn a living. It might be part of how you have influence. But He intends for you to use it to give Him glory and to build His church and to lead people to His throne and to His cross. That's why He gave you that gift. God calls us a family. We like to say that this is our family of choice. I was born into the Green family. I have three younger brothers. I didn't choose them. My parents decided, and they came. But I get to choose you. And I don't choose you to come and sit on the bench. I don't choose you to just be a bystander. I choose you to be a part of you. We are a family. The Bible calls us a body. We are a church. We belong to each other. We are many members, but one body. And each of us has a gift. So serve the Lord enthusiastically using your gift. Amen. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I had surgery on this left shoulder. So I'm raising my hand like this today. Really, because I get here and then I start feeling it, it hurts. I really found out how quickly, even though I'm right-handed, it doesn't take but a few minutes to realize when part of your body is not working, it's just standing by, it's dead weight. And you don't realize how much weight your arm is until you use the other arm to pick it up. Are you dead weight? Maybe the Lord had the surgery so I could preach this sermon better. You're a part of a body, but are you just showing up? I couldn't even raise this arm. I couldn't use this arm to wash this part of the body. So you have all kind of problems with part of the body's dead weight. It's not even in my notes, but that is a good thought. Thank you, God. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Don't wait to be asked. Don't be a bystander, present but not participating. Step up and use your gift. Be part of a Skybreak Serve team. You have something to offer, and we don't need to be dragging people around. You're slowing the rest of us down from accomplishing what God expects from us as a church body, as a church family. We've got a mission. We've got a job. We've got a gospel to preach. We got people that need to hear Jesus. We got people that need to be free from addiction. We got marriages that need to be restored. We got lives that need to be saved. We've got depression that needs to be lifted. We've got pain that needs to be healed. Don't be a bystander. How can I become a part of a serve team? Well, it's simple. You heard a little bit about it a while ago, but we call it church essentials. Jump on skybreakchurch.com or download the app. It's simple. You can join Church Essentials. It'll help you. It's our pathway into the church. Church Essentials. I think you could tap the QR code and go there on the seat in front of you. Everybody say Church Essentials. Here's another practical way you can avoid the bystander effect. Be a faithful financial supporter of our local church. Listen to what the Bible says about giving. Everybody say the Bible. So you know if it's in the Bible, it's pretty important, right? I mean, that's what we're all talking about here. Here's what the Bible says. This started way back in the Old Testament. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. When this was written, the monetary system was not like it is today. Everything today is in exchange for a dollar. You work your job to earn a paycheck, right? It's exchanged for the dollar. You give your time, your talent, your ability, to get a dollar. In those days, they would raise animals, they had farms, they were ranchers, they were raised crops. So you got to keep that language in your mind. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Everybody say, honor the Lord.
Honor the Lord.
We don't fully understand what that means. Honor him. Jesus gave me his all. I was standing looking out the kitchen window at the sink on Thursday, and this thought was in my mind. I just started weeping as I looked out into the back of the house. Jesus, you died a grueling, horrible, humiliating death on a cross to save me and to buy me back from hell. What can I give you in return that even equals value? I can't. But I can do something. So a couple of more lighthearted thoughts. Have you ever been to dinner with people and at the end they bring the check? And I think it's Jared, my son, that used this illustration. And when the check comes to the table, everybody around the table has T-Rex arms like... Can I say something? That's the last time we go into dinner with you. I don't like that. But come on. I mean, I like to sneak to the waiter or waitress and say, hey, I want to check. If I'm going to do that, I like to do it ahead of time. But I don't like the T-Rex arms because I don't like to be used. I'm not alone, am I? None of us like that. Hey, let's go to dinner. You paying? Oh, I forgot my wallet. And we come to church. And he died and gave us his all to keep us from hell. And we want to argue that we give $100 a month. Can I just be a dad of... I'm the grandfather of the house. I'm not the pastor. You get the real guy next week. I did my job. But this is how I feel. It's like joining a gym membership, taking your kids to the daycare at the gym and going and working out, and then you bail and I pay the monthly fee. But we come to church and expect somebody else, and we're just a bystander instead of buying in with our financial support? How do you think this happens? How do you think this happens? So here's a verse of scripture that might help you understand. Jesus said it. Pretty important. Don't just store up treasures here on earth, where a moth and rust will destroy it, and where thieves can steal it. Store up treasures where? Can you read it with me? Where is it at? Wow. Where moth and rust can't destroy it, thieves can't break in and steal it. And then if you jump down to verse 21, he gives you the weightiness of this issue. Listen carefully to this verse. This is crucial. Where your treasure is where the desires of your heart will also be. Okay, listen up. Listen up. Some of you come to church and you wonder why you don't love God and love His church as much as other people on your row. Let me tell you why. Because where your treasure is where the desires of your heart are. And if they're not here, then it's somewhere else. And I kind of like church. I like going, need to go, but I'm really focused somewhere else. Because where your love is, where your passion is, where your hope is, where your worship is, that which you treasure the most, it moves you and it consumes you and it gets all up inside of you. And when you treasure God's presence, and when you treasure God's house, and when you treasure Him, it changes you and how you worship Him. And you can't just be a bystander and tip God a $20 bill and act like you did anything when He gave it all, because that's not your treasure. And you'll pay $150 to go to the rodeo. So it decides your priorities. It defines what matters most to you, because where your treasure is. And there's some of you in the room, God's talking to you, because your treasure is not Him. And you hope you're going to heaven and you pray the sinner's prayer, but you're really not His treasure. He's not really your treasure. How do I know? Well, we don't do checkbooks anymore. I used to say, look at your check register. Where are you spending your money? What's your calendar say? Where are you spending your time? What matters most to you? That's where your treasure is. Don't be a bystander. Don't be a church consumer. I like quiet sermons. Because you can hear me really well. Here's the third point. How do I avoid being a bystander? Worship together often. The word church, we call it this in American Western culture. Let's go to church. Church is a thing. It's a building. It's a family. It means a lot of things. It really means a gathering. And the Bible says, let's gather together. If you read through the New Testament, you'll find many instructions that are really hard to fulfill if you're not part of a family. If you're not a gathering together, you can't even fulfill some of the teachings of Paul and throughout the New Testament. So we have to get together. We need to gather together often. And I'll leave you with a verse on that. The book of Hebrews, New Testament, says, don't neglect our church meetings. Don't neglect them. You have to understand, some of us hear these verses and we don't think anything about it, and we don't even apply it to ourselves. We think, if I'm not committing adultery, and if I'm not lying or stealing from somebody, I'm okay. Well, there are other things that we have to do. It's our assignment. And one of those assignments is you need to come together as a church body. There's reasons for that. And then he goes on to say, especially now that the day of Jesus coming back is drawing near. I don't think any of you in this room would disagree with me. We live in perilous times. What in the world is going to happen in the next year? Is Jesus coming back? I, for one, would tell you, I don't know one thing that has been omitted from Scripture or that Jesus has not fulfilled, that one event that has not happened that keeps Jesus from coming back. He could come back any moment at any time. And the events going on in the world today ought to make you aware. The church ought to be full, but people are careless. People are not realizing, or they simply don't know. And it's our job to tell them what's happening. But it's also our job as a church to get together, to hear from God as a body, to hear our leadership, to know what's going on, to be on point, because there's things we have to do before Jesus gets here, and we want to be ready when he comes. We don't want to be asleep in the bed and not be taken. And my fourth and final thought on how to avoid the bystander effect is bring someone with you. Don't only invite people to church, but bring them. In fact, Jesus again, it's amazing the things Jesus said, right? Jesus again tells us, he said, go out in the street and compel them. Urge them to come to my house. I want my house to be full. Jesus said that. It's my responsibility to fill his house. Well, I'll let somebody else invite somebody. I'm just bringing my kids. That's good, but that's not just somebody else's responsibility. Who are you bringing? Do you know many people came to church for the first time because somebody brought them to church?
Amen.
And Pastor Nate said this last week or the week before, the statistics prove that 9 out of 10 people who were surveyed, 9 out of 10 people who were surveyed that didn't go to church said, if somebody asked me and brought me with them, I'd go to church with them. 9 out of 10 people. So don't think people don't want to be asked. You got co-workers, you got neighbors, you got friends. Invite them. And it's Easter Sunday. Some of them hadn't been to church since they saw the Christmas tree.
Come on.
Come on. There's some people in Skybreak that say this is their church, hadn't seen church since the Christmas tree. But they'll come see a cross next weekend. Bring somebody with you. Avoid the bystander effect. Join a serve team. Start using your gift. Be a faithful financial supporter. Bring your best financial gift to God. Jesus gave us his life. Worship together as often as possible. We try to get together every Sunday. A few years ago, we didn't even have church here on Easter Sunday. COVID. First time, I said it never happened, but it happened. Couldn't believe it, that the church of Jesus across the globe, many places, we weren't in buildings. I don't know if that was the right thing to do or not, but we weren't here. But we're back. And people have kind of forgotten about all of that. But we need to worship together and then bring somebody with you. It's time to step up and do something and not be a bystander. As Pastor Nate said, we're closing our gatherings differently, and I think a message like this requires a response. God's word is preached. God's speaking. What's he saying to you? So I'm asking you to stay for the next few moments. I just want to hear what God says to me. What is he saying to you? What does he want to tell us right now? So there's three things we're going to do at the end of every service. We're going to sing, we're going to bring, and we're going to pray. We're going to take a few minutes to do that. Our team is going to lead us in worship. We're just going to open the altars. Our prayer team is going to gather at the sides. They can start doing that now. And we're going to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. And I'm asking you to join us. Now, while our prayer team is gathering, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads all across the room, and I want to pray a prayer. Just bow your heads all across the room. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe you've never invited him to be the Lord of your life. Maybe you're new here today. Maybe you're new to the Christian faith and you've been checking this thing out. And maybe you've never prayed a prayer of salvation that the Bible calls a prayer of confession. And here's really what it says. If we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. So it's a simple prayer of, God, forgive me. Come into my life. I believe in you. I want to know you. And I want you to be my Lord and leader. I'm going to pray that prayer right now. And if you've never prayed that, I'm going to invite everybody to pray it with us. And maybe somebody near you's never prayed it before, but as a believer, you can pray with them out loud, just like I do every time I say the prayer. And it reminds me all over again of my commitment to the Lord. So we're going to pray right now. And if you've never prayed this prayer, would you join with us all across the room, watching online, wherever you are? Let's pray together. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Take away my past. I invite you into my world to be my Lord and to be my leader. And from this day forward, I'll do my best to honor you and to serve you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed it to rededicate, recommit your life to Jesus today, can I celebrate with you? I have a Bible. I have a gift I want to give you. Our team is moving around the audience right now. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? Come on, church, would you help me celebrate? If that's you, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer. That's beautiful, beautiful. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing. We're going to take a few moments to worship and let Jesus talk to us. We're going to bring. We're going to prepare our offering. We're going to give our tithe and our offering, our best gift to the Lord. Many of us give online. I do that. I use the app. It's very easy for me. You can do that. You can tap the QR code in front of you. You can give. There's giving boxes at each exit. You can drop it in there if you got a check or somehow the way you want to give. And then we're going to pray. These altars are open for us to come and say, Lord, I bring my body as a living sacrifice. I want my treasure to be you. We're going to take the next few minutes and we're going to honor the Lord. Please stay with us. Please participate in this. Would you stand with me all across the building? Come on, team. Let's worship and let's lead.
worship this morning. Come on, let's go all in. Let's go fully devoted this morning as we lift up Jesus together. Come on, let's declare this. If you're available to him, let's just lift up our hands all across the room. Come on, declare that out. I am available. Come on, let's say it together. I am available. Come on, let's also celebrate with the 8 salvations that happened this morning all across the room. Jesus, come on, people giving their life to Jesus this morning. Isn't that incredible?
Meet with some team members. If you're not on a team, today is the day. And we have booths in the lobby. We have a booth over in the annex where the kids ministry area is. So make sure you take some time, go check out those areas. If you see someone in a white shirt today, just tell them thank you. Give them a high five, give them a handshake, tell them thank you for serving.
That's right. Just a reminder, Good Friday, this Friday, 7 p.m., Easter services. Remember, don't just invite somebody. Bring somebody with you. We love you. Make it a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.